Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. I forgot to share with our friends up north. Hang on. We gotta jump over to Facebook over here on the computer. For those of you who jumped into the live stream before it was actually a live stream, I appreciate you. I see what you're doing. I see you talking. Hang on. All right, we're going to click here, and then I think I can click here. You guys can't see, but I can see. And then I think I can somehow click this, and I can click this, and I can click this. Oh, it's so complicated. And then this, and then this. There's got to be an easier way to do this, and I haven't figured it out yet. But then if I click this button, and then I click that, now we can get our friends from the north. Welcome. I was hoping the timing would work out perfect, that right as we were hitting halftime, it would be time for the show to start. It didn't work out. We are instead, what, 10 minutes late? That's fine. We're always 10 minutes late. It's not late. You can't be late on a show that is not a show. All right, I got to click that to get back to my notes. Welcome, guys. If you're new to this thing, this is not a show. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for us to hang out together, to sit down and drink together, to talk about whatever is happening. And believe me, there is always something happening, especially this week. As I was putting my notes together for this week's show, I keep going through this like up and down spectrum of how I feel. Sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I'm angry, sometimes I'm very like full of like warm, happy feelings about what really is going on in Cincinnati beer. I don't know. I don't know whether this show is either going to be this not a show is either going to be really long, and I'm going to get very inebriated and just spill out everything I think about everything in the world, or it's going to be really short because I get really sad and just don't want to continue. And I have no idea which way it's going to go. We need to start with something, though. And as you see, there's a little tiny glass in front of me, which means it's time for the schnappening, or the not schnappening. This is schnapps. I thought it was appropriate. It's has nothing to do with Listerman, but it's a schnapps. It's a Rumpelmann's kind of night. If you've never had Rumpelmann's, this is the second best peppermint schnapps that you can get in the world. Oh, yeah. See, I opened it, and the sugar crusties just kind of fell all over me. It's like, oh, yeah, there's like peppermint sugar crusties everywhere. It's like candy. Oh, yeah. If you've never had Rumpelmann's, it's pretty freaking good. Not the best peppermint schnapps. The best peppermint schnapps is the Voltage peppermint schnapps, and I will stand by that. Okay. Let's dive in here. It looks like water. It's not. It smells. Smells like a candy cane. We are so close to the time of year where this is actually appropriate. My chat is all squished to one side of the screen. So as you do jump on and you get into the live stream here, please tell me what you're drinking. It's part of the show. Michael says he's here to talk about the new Mecklenburg Gardens Brewery. That's actually like a good topic to talk about, but I don't know if I'm like mentally able to talk about anything else. But it is like a good topic. It is fun. Let's see. Let me roll back and see what everybody's drinking. That's part of the show. I'm sorry. I'm already failing. Marco's drinking a Sonder Oktoberfest, or had a Sonder Oktoberfest. Now he's having a Truth. Let's see. Chris is having a Grainworks Oktoberfest. Miles, a Truth Bomb. That's a good choice. Julia with an Allagash Haunted House. A Hoppy Dark. What makes it haunted? I don't even know. I don't even know what that means. But it sounds good. Miles is happy Allagash came to Ohio. We're all happy Allagash is here, even though we'll forget about him in about 3 months. Hopefully not, but Let's see. Jeremy's having Mad Tree's Dreamsicle. Also a good choice. Let's see. Okay, this your username is very confusing. 1430 Rube 6565 is having Staff's Stein season. All right, good. Alex is drinking Loose Ends Heisenberg. What kind of beer is that? I don't know enough about Loose Ends. I mean, I know Loose Ends, but I don't know their beers. Is that a Crystal Weissen? Hopefully it's a Crystal Weissen. It better be a Crystal Weissen. Ryan is having Braxton's OKI Bourbon Barrel Ale. I don't think I've had that yet. I know it's been out for like way too long. I actually don't think I've had it. All right. I'm gonna drink my schnapps. My candy cane schnapps. Why not? It's schnappening. Josh is having a West Side Dippa. All right. Cheers, everybody. We're just downing it in one go because it's that type of night. Oh, that's good. It's a Munich Dunkel, not a Crystal Weissen. Oh, it's disappointing. Okay. 1430, yada, 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 says, just call me Ruben. That's way easier. All right, I'll try to remember that. Let's see. Eric is working from a growler of Chapeau Gris from Misrule. Getting his Belgian on. Good choice. Blake is having a double Radio Vision by Warped Wing. I should probably crack open a beer. I do have the game on. It's right there. I can see it as it comes back on if anything exciting happens. It's preseason. It's fine. Maybe we'll talk about it. I need a glass. I've got a glass right here. Not a shocker. Drinking out of a triple-digit tulip. All right. I dug into the cellar. Chris has the pickleball match, basically. I dug into the cellar. I had a few different options. Some were a lot newer, and I'm not ready to crack into those yet. This is one that's been sitting for a long time. I don't know how well it's going to be tasting. I don't actually know when it's from. I didn't dive into the notes to try to figure it out. Maybe somebody else knows better than me. This is Cincinnatus. This is not the cherry Cincinnatus that's probably going to explode. However, I have a towel just in case because it does make me nervous because there was an infected barrel of cherry Cincinnatus. However, I think this is just regular. This is, this is definitely what I would consider OG Listerman. This was from a period of time that things were going nuts. Hopefully not going nuts from a infected perspective. Let's see. Now she good. Oh, she good. Not super carbonated. Whatever. It's fine. Eric says we're under a boil water advisory. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to pour this. Let's see how carbonated it is. Not very. It's all right. This was, God, was this like the first like stout series out of Listerman? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it was. I feel like this was it. Like this was where kind of that whole idea started at Listerman. Let me look at this and see what it says. Brewed and bottled by the Listerman Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Bottle conditioned, 10%. It doesn't tell me much else. The screen printed bottles. This is one of those times where like I kind of regret. So I don't collect a lot of like cans and bottles anymore. I've been trying to kind of, I've kind of started to get rid of some of the things I did collect. And when a brewery closes, especially one like Listerman, I start to kind of regret not hanging on to things. Like I wish I had a shelf sitting down here in the basement full of some of these old bottles that I remember. Yeah, I'm not ready to get rid of that one yet. Let's see. Michael says, probably going to have the opposite problem. Yeah. Michael says, I used to see these at the homebrew store and be shocked they were actually allowed to make beer to sell. This was like, this was right kind of at that turning point where the beer really started to like actually get good. Well, let's see. Let's see. Let's see how good it is. This has got to be. A decade? Maybe? Maybe. It's got to be around there. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it definitely smells a tiny bit oxidized, but it smells like chocolate. Yeah, it smells like liquid chocolate. Oh, God. All right. Let's get in. Oh, this, I'm going to have to put some Rumplemans in this at some point. It tastes like a Tootsie Roll. That's a good beer. It could use a little bit of carbonation for me, for what I want. Yeah, that's good beer. That's a fun beer. That's a beer that definitely takes me back to a certain point in my my beer life. I think that's, for me, if we want to just kind of jump into it, this, I guess we should start with the actual news. Listerman Brewing Company, who is, depending on how you look at it, one of the oldest breweries in the city, if not, we'll say one of the oldest breweries in the city. They closed. I don't know if we'll ever see the Listerman name reappear. I have hope that at some point maybe we do, but that might be wishful thinking. And I think I speak for a lot of craft beer fans that I don't really know how to feel about that. On one hand, I've got definite, like, strong, like, really strong feelings about Listerman and their place in this whole kind of craft beer in Cincinnati picture. I'm just realizing I don't have the other chat up. All right, I'm not going to do it there. I'm going to do it over here. But on the other hand, it's been like this really weird, drawn out, painful death for a lot of us. All right, that's up there. Let's do that. Okay, that's not even going to work. Let me start with my personal relationship with Listerman. So I, as a very young craft beer drinker, I have family members that are Listerman family members is the best way that I can put it. I grew up in a family that appreciated craft beer and that appreciated kind of the nerdy side of craft beer. As a very young drinker, we experimented with home brewing. I was never a home brewer, and I'm still not a home brewer. But I definitely grew up in that bubble. And because of that bubble, it shaped... I'm sorry, I'm distracted by the game. We're going to turn it off. Game gone. I think that the homebrewing hobby can make you a better beer drinker and a better appreciator of beer. And that's where I came at my craft beer experience from. I was never going to be a home brewer, and I think I knew the whole time that I was never going to be a home brewer. But I used homebrewing to kind of get me into some of the other sides of what I was drinking. And Listerman was the center of all of that. You could walk into this place at the time. It was not a brewery. You'd walk into this store, and to get into the store, you had to walk through a room with picnic tables. There was a big kind of table. It was not even a picnic table. It was like these fold up tables where they had their homebrew meetings. And you had to walk through that, and you walked into this store with just these weird bearded guys that were just sitting around talking about like malt and hops and these things that like I didn't really understand at the time, but they understood it and they were talking about it. And you very quickly kind of got sucked into these conversations, and they pointed you in these directions of things that you didn't know you needed to be pointed to, if any of that makes sense. I fell in love with beer because people made me curious about the things that were making me taste the things that I were tasting, that I was tasting. I could try a beer, and then I could go back to Listerman, and I could talk to somebody, and I could be like, man, I had this beer, and like it was fruity, but it wasn't fruit. Like it was something else that was going on. And they're like, oh yeah, that's the hops. And they would like then talk about the hops and like how that was contributing that flavor and how what was the style? Maybe it was the yeast, you know. And then you'd start talking about that, and then two people would get together and they'd start arguing about what it was that I was tasting. And I'm just sitting there watching them argue about what I was tasting. That's craft beer. Like, that's so much fun. Like, I fell in love with this experience of people just talking about beer. And then I think we're losing some of that. And so I think that part of my pain of losing, this is a very multi-segmented thought. Part of my pain of losing Listerman is that we're losing that. And I recognize that was not the Listerman that we just lost. This idea that you could go somewhere and you could sit and you could just talk about beer. That's what pushed a lot of us into craft beer. That's what pushed a lot of us further in craft beer once we were there. And I think maybe that's the biggest loss from Listerman over the years for me. Other people might have different experiences, but like this idea that you can go in somewhere and just sit and talk about beer. I think we need that somewhere, and I don't know where that place is right now. Like, I know that there are moments in almost every brewery that I go into, not every, there are some places that it does not exist at all and won't exist, and that's fine. But like, we need it somewhere. And Listerman in my head was that spot. And I just kept hoping that at some point it would come back. And it didn't. And not only did it not, the whole thing kind of collapsed upon itself. I'm actually kind of rambling at this point. Ryan says, after years of wanting to visit their brewery, I finally went for my first time in March. Wondered if I was in the right. See, this is heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Okay. Let me give you a little history of Listerman. We should start there. He says, so while the news isn't sad, while the news is sad, it wasn't surprising. Yeah, I get that. And you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. But let me... I was so in this whole like kind of news, in this whole kind of weekend of just chaos, because like, oh God, there's so much to dig into this. So not only did they announce Friday they announced that Saturday would be their last day of business. They just one day, like tomorrow, we're done tomorrow, which they could have given more notice. I get it that maybe like I don't even know how to be nice about all of it, like how to be understanding and like, okay, let's, I need to somehow focus my thoughts. I want to go through the history of Listerman and kind of explain, who they are. I also want to explain my anger about how they closed and the time frame. I also, oh, Jesus. All right, let's, okay. All right. The comments are coming in. Okay. Julia says, I feel like instead of more people flocking to homebrewing to have those conversations, they just jumped right into owning a brewery for better or worse. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Oh, smells so good. I'm sorry. That's good. That smells and tastes like, it smells like, like a Tootsie Roll, but, it reminds me of like, just like early beer. Like it just tastes like fun beer that I used to drink. Oh, it's fun. I love it. Let's see. Chris says, I definitely see what you are saying. I'm trying to think about where you get that now. Maybe clubs now. Michael says, her working for one, or a bottle shop, or a distributor. Chris says, they do that to keep staff from stealing things. It sucks, but that's... I don't buy that. Well, all right, I'll get to that. Michael says, or owning a distributor. Okay, we got multiple conversations. I can't see them in the threads like you guys, I think, can on Facebook. Who on earth would want owner distributor? Okay. Let's go into how Listerman closed, and then we'll kind of go into why I think that happened. Listerman gave us 1 day notice, which is not abnormal for the restaurant industry. Which is not the craft brewing industry, for the record, and I will stand by that. There are different industries. They need to do things differently on every level. And if you want to fight me on that, I will arm wrestle till the end of the days. They told us on Friday that Saturday, Chickow Day, which is an insult to what Chickow Day is supposed to be, would be their last day. And people were rightfully so pissed off that they couldn't make it, that they had other things going on. They were out of town. They live across the country. All of these people that made Listerman what it is couldn't go for various reasons. To me, the biggest reason that people maybe had trouble getting there was because Beer and Sweat was happening on Saturday, the day that Listerman is closing. Beer and Sweat, for anybody that doesn't know, is this huge homebrewing competition, which is not a big deal if you're like a commercial beer drinker and you don't care about homebrewing. But Listerman literally started because of homebrewing. That's why the brand exists. That's what it is. In 1991... Dan Listerman started a manufacturing company. He was an engineer, and he wanted to make better home brewing equipment, so that's what he did. And then a couple years later, in 95 or so, he opened an actual location with a space that he could manufacture this equipment. And in that space, he thought it would be cool if he opened a homebrew shop. And Michael says, in their defense, they probably didn't know about beer and sweat. That's the problem. They didn't even know about beer and sweat. This competition, this festival that was started by a bunch of people, including Dan Listerman. Listerman Brewing Company, beer and sweat go hand in hand. Like it's an insult to everything that Listerman started on and was built upon and should still exist upon, to close the brewery and say, hey, yeah, this is it. We're done today. If you want to say goodbye, you should probably leave beer and sweat and come here. That is like the biggest slap in the face to everything that the brand that you purchased, that you thought you understood, stands on. I'm getting angry, and I don't want to be angry, because they had their own issues that they were trying to work through. But it just shows this complete misunderstanding of what Listerman is. Yes, Listerman is a fun, like, Cincinnati craft beer brand, and you loved it, and I get that. And I never had a bad experience with new ownership, personally. But this just shows me that they didn't understand what Listerman is. And it makes me so mad. It, like, not mad. I mean, yeah, mad. Yeah, there's some anger there. But it just, yeah, it breaks my heart. Like, not that somebody else could have made Listerman be successful, because I think Listerman was doomed before Dan sold the business. I think that there was a whole lot of other factors going on that nobody could figure out. It's easy to blame the new owners, and Jeff points out that the recent owners ran it to the ground. They ran it into the ground, but I don't know that they steered it into the ground. I think they just rode it into the ground. I don't know that there was a way to save it. And I think that's probably what I'm struggling with the most, is that I was hoping somebody could save it. At the same time, I don't know, like, it make it at least feel like you're trying to save it. And I think that, like, it was like nobody was, like, trying to pull up on the controls. Like, at a certain point, it was just hands up. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going down. See you later. If you want to wave, come wave. And, like, it is one of, it might be the most heartbreaking closure, the most heartbreaking failure, the most heartbreaking, yeah, closure, I think is the right way to put it. It might be the most heartbreaking one in the city so far for me. Like, there's been a lot of hard ones. 8-Ball was really tough. Rivertown was tough to see kind of the way that evolved and closed. Humble Monk, dear God. Dogberry for me was an incredible spot that I'd love to go to, and I hated to see that close. Like, there's been a lot of, like, really sad closures. This one's tough. Ryan says, someone told me a key brewer went off to start Wandering Monsters. Is that true? Yes, a very key brewer, Jason Brewer, who does not brew, went off to start Wandering Monsters. Brewer, he did not make beer at Listerman. However, he was definitely key in the direction of what Listerman was kind of in that hype years of who they were. As far as people that made beer, there are people all over Cincinnati that have made beer at Listerman. Kevin Moreland. Let's do this. Let's go into the history a little bit. So they started actually making beer in 2008. That's when they got their production license. So this is before you could have a tap room. And I wish that everybody that was not kind of around, or beer drinkers at that time could have experienced this thing. Because not that the beer was great or the experience was great, but like it gives you like this perspective on what beer was then versus where we're at now, that I think when you sit and look back and you look now, you realize how lucky we are in the city to see where things are. At that time, you had to have a brew pub. You had to have like a rock bottom kind of spot. Like you had to be like, you had to make food, and most of your business had to come from food in order to make beer. It was a weird time in Ohio. Now it is vastly different. But 2008, they could open a production facility so that you could make beer and you could sell commercial beer, like on shelves or out of in their case, your homebrew shop, which is what they did. You could go and you could buy bombers of this beer that they made on a 2-barrel system in the back that he bought off of some lady that was trying to unload it. And the beer was fine. It was, looking back at it, I recognize it wasn't the best beer. At the time, I freaking loved it. I was like this young guy that like loved drinking new beers and trying new beers. And like we would go to Listerman and we would get a couple bombers of beer and then a beer kit. And we'd go back into my kitchen and we'd brew up beer and drink it while we were making it. And like, it was just so much fun. And like it was fun. And I don't think it's as fun for people anymore. And like that's really sad for me now, that like people like walk into a brewery and like, oh, this food isn't as good as I want. Oh, these chicken tenders aren't tender. What? What are you talking about? What are you even talking about? You get what I'm saying. So 2011 was when things really kind of shifted into this other world. That's when Kevin Moreland was hired. Kevin, for anybody that doesn't know, is now at Fretboard. He is one of the owners there and kind of steering their brewing program, I guess. I don't actually know kind of the inner workings of how that all works. I don't think he's making beer. I'm sure he's steering something. Somebody can correct me. I'm pretty sure Tracy is working his butt off steering things over there. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. Kevin really changed kind of that early direction of what Listerman was. He started making beer that actually was what it should be. And he also, in 2012, kicked off the triple digit line, which is what's on that glass. Triple digit, that's the higher ABV line of Listerman. It gives you that separate brand family, I guess. That's where Chickow lives and all of that stuff, or lived, I guess, before it got confusing. Also, 2012, they hosted the first Oktoberfest, which, dear God, was amazing. Marco says, is that a French accent? Which part? I missed it. Your chat comes in a little bit later than I actually say things, so I don't know what it was. Chickow, is that French? At the end of 2012, they upgraded to a 10-barrel brew house from the 2-barrel brew house, and that's when things started to get a little nuts. 2013, they hosted the first ever Volksfest, which, again, kind of scaled up that festival side of who Listerman was and started building this community around what they were. I mean, they had this like homebrew community that they were building, the store. And then now you've got this festival where you can bring in all of these local breweries. And I say all because you could bring in all of the local breweries. All of them were there. Every single one of them were there. And the people that made the beer were there. The people that owned the breweries were there. All of the people that drank the beer were there. Everybody was there. And, like, it's obviously, like, a it was because of the time. You know, there were not that many breweries. There were not that many people. And it just, you could. And so maybe that's part of what made it so special. Okay, Zach. Zach wants me to go back in time. Zach says, I just got on here late. What Listerman are you drinking now? I am drinking Cincinnatus. But like at that time, everybody could get together. Everybody could be in the same spot. And that's impossible now. And so part of that kind of wraps into what makes all of this so special. Moving on to 2014. 2014, things start to shift. So that's when Kevin leaves. He starts planning and getting ready to start Taft's, opens Taft's. And Patrick Gilroy takes over. And he takes over the brewery and just keeps going, just full force. They start rolling hard. That's when they start winning awards at GABF, at FOBAB, all of this stuff. Jason Brewer is there, and he's going full strength. That's when, to me, Listerman becomes Listerman. That's not fair. They became Listerman before that, but that's when things, like, people started to notice outside of the nerds. That's when the tap room opened. Like, you could go and sit at a picnic table and drink a beer, which was, there was still a wobbly bar, but it was fine. Nutcase wins a bronze medal at GABF. Still the best peanut butter beer. I don't care what anybody says. In August of 2014, they announced that they were expanding the tap room, and they were also expanding brewing capacity. So this goes into kind of one of the struggles that I've had throughout this news. With this news, I'm trying to figure out in my head, like, how I write about this, how I explain it to people, how I talk about it. And everybody wants to know why. You know, why did Listerman close? Like, why did they fail? Like, what is going on? Like, I've got like 40 different reasons I can tell you. But I'm trying to figure out what like the one thing is that I can point at. And I went through like this list in my head. And when I wrote my article, if you haven't read it, go to the website, whatever. I try to figure out like what the thing is that I could point at. And I went through every single thing that I could possibly come up with to try to figure it out. And this was the first one, like, in the timeline that I could figure out where things shifted enough that I could give people credit and say, yeah, this is part of it. When they started to expand the tap room and production. At the same time, I don't think this is it. They added the patio at this point, which for most of you, you know the patio now. Like, it's part of the thing. It was never there before. Zach says, I was able to grab a last can of Nutcase at higher gravity. I noticed everyone is buying up the last beers that were sitting on shelves. Yeah, they're going to go fast. They added a couple new fermenters. They were expanding capacity. So 2015, to give you a little bit of perspective, I guess. 2013, I think they brewed around 600 barrels, if my notes are right. And 2015, so 2 years later, they were projecting 1,200 barrels. So the doubling capacity. That's also as they're expanding. So they're hoping to double that capacity. So in the span of 2 years, they're hoping to essentially quadruple their capacity that they were making. They took out a small loan to expand the the size of the brewery. They added a bunch of tanks. It's also the same here at Chikao. Won a silver medal at FOBAB. That's when they started making wine, and they brought Danny Spears, Beer Mumbo, for anybody that doesn't know Beer Mumbo, really great guy. They brought him in to kind of kick off this other side of their fermentation program. He was making some really, really cool stuff, had some really cool ideas. That didn't last nearly long enough that I thought it should have. Ryan says, when we went in March, I told Matt, it feels like they don't have anyone who cares anymore. That's, yeah, we'll get there. 2016, they just keep going full on with this expansion. Let's see, Chikao wins a gold medal and best in show at FOBAB. They just keep like bringing these medals in, keep like building this hype around who Listerman is. And in May that year, they open the kitchen. So they add a kitchen and they bring in a food partner. And the first food partner was Renegade, which was great, burgers and things like that. In June of that same year, so right after the kitchen opens, Patrick leaves and they start this hunt. They were hunting before that, I guess. But right after that, they announce that they're trying to get a new head brewer in. And in July of 2016, they bring in Jared Lewinsky. Really great guy. Definitely puts his mark on his stamp on the Listerman history. So much so that not even a year later, in the summer of 2017, Team Fiona is released. So New England IPA has become a thing. They make a beer similar in my mind, like in like Cincinnati beer history, the same way that Grater's, the Grater's Black Raspberry Chip beer at Braxton kind of changed the story for them. This beer changed the story for Listerman. There were people lined up around the corner, and people had been lining up for beers for these New England IPAs. But this one was the first time that people that didn't even drink beer lined up to drink beer. Not even to drink beer. they didn't line up to drink beer. They lined up to buy a 4-pack of beer that they might not even ever drink. I still, like, I've got cans sitting around somewhere. There's cans that my wife has sitting upstairs, like in like some kind of like cabinet or something, because she loved it so much. Not because she loved the beer. She doesn't even like IPAs that much. She put the beers in her cabinet because she likes Fiona. Like, she put these things in a cabinet because she likes a hippo. And Listerman was the brewery that got that at the right time, and it changed the trajectory of who they were at that point. And that could be that. Zach says, I never knew people lined up for Team Fiona. It was around the block. Like, that was one of like the first like big kind of things that blew up what line shares were. That is the first thing that I can point at that changed what Listerman was and kind of started to steer it down a different path. Maybe it's arguable. I'm going to jump forward in their history to 2021. So COVID sucked. We all know that. COVID changed everybody. That's the next thing that I could point at that maybe changed the history of Listerman is COVID. Because after COVID, they open the Trail House. And at the same time that they're opening the Trail House, that's also the time that Jason is leaving, Jared is leaving. Everything is splitting and fragmenting. And they open a pizza restaurant down the street from the tap room. Zach says, I always heard about the barrel-aged stouts and the Ray Rays forming lines. No, it was New England IPAs that formed the first lines. this is, okay. This is where I think Listerman started going downhill. And that is, hang on, let me take a sip of my beer because I need this emotionally. I need this. That's so good. Oh, it's so good. When Listerman opened the Trail House, it was fine. I was not like mad that they were opening the second location. Even that it was a pizza place or right down the street. None of that stuff. I don't care about any of that. But when I walked in for the first time, it was the most soulless, disappointing representation of what I knew Listerman was. And I looked at it and I could not comprehend in my head how anybody who understood Listerman or felt anything about Listerman as a brand would allow to happen. And yet here it was, and I was in it. And like I could walk up and order a beer and ask a question, and nobody had any idea what I was talking about. If I said something about Chickow, if it wasn't on tap, they didn't know what I was talking about. It was the weirdest, like, just still maybe to this day. Like, I know that there are some tap rooms operated by breweries that don't feel the way that you think the brewery should feel like. I get that. That's a real thing that we need to deal with. But this was different. Like, this might have been, like, the worst example of that. And I love Dan, and I love Listerman, and I don't say any of this as like a dig at them, but it was maybe the biggest misstep that I have ever experienced in craft beer. Ruben says, I moved to Norwood in the spring of 2015 and started homebrewing shortly after. Glad I was able to be there for the peak. Agree on the Trail House. It was terrible. And I think that is where Listerman started to go downhill. So with that, we'll skip kind of the in-between there. It lasted a year. The Trail House closed in 2022. Dan and Sue retire in 2023, and they sell the business to the new owners. I'm not going to shit too much on the new owners. I think that they tried their best. I don't think they knew what they were getting into. And I think Chris says they were on the short list to open a location in Hamilton. Fretboard is what moved in there. I forgot about that. there was a couple places that were talking about opening in that space, and Listerman was. Oh, I completely forgot about that. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Listerman was one of the breweries that was really close to opening that in that location. Oh, I need to go back and dig through my notes. There were some other places too. That's crazy. Would it have changed anything? Oof. Would it have changed anything? God. That's a really interesting thought there. Because Fretboard has done fine in like the way that they have managed all of that. I don't know. We won't get into that part. If somebody could have done it better, because I love Fretboard and like it's fine. But new ownership comes in 2023, and they never really got a hold of what Listerman is or was or could be. And I don't know that anybody could have at that point. I think Listerman at that stage was already just nose first headed into the ground, and they pulled up on that as long as they could until they couldn't. Chris says, I prefer Billy Yanks in town here. Billy Yanks is great. The Lucky Well over on the other side of the river is fantastic too. Ron's okay. All right, we're gonna get fired up here. 24 hour notice for a brewery closing is unique. Production had to stop weeks ago. Empty tanks, no deliveries, etc. Or does the mash need emptied? That is a great question. That is, Chris says, same owners, Bill Yanks. Yeah, Lucky Well, Bill Yanks, same owners. Great, great spots in Hamilton if anybody is headed to Hamilton. Okay. Zach says, I was just listening to one of your old Cincy Brewcast episodes about Listerman today, and I remember Jason saying they put in a bid for another location but didn't get it. There were lots of other ideas that they were working on. Okay, let's talk about how they closed. One day notice. Not crazy for employees and for notice in the restaurant industry. All right, how do I word this? So I have, we're going to say heard rumors, heard rumblings that Listerman has been for sale for a while. I guess I don't know for a fact that that's been true, that they've been for sale for a while. I guess in theory, I don't know. I don't know, but I don't know. I don't have any kind of confirmation from ownership that that is true. However, it seems strange that you would close your brewery without trying to sell it first, but whatever. I do know that I reached out to ownership. I don't know when specifically, but when I knew in my head that they were for sale, when I felt like I knew that they were for sale, and I reached out to them, that's what I do. I'm not going to write about something or talk about something if I don't talk to you first. Like that doesn't make sense for me. It doesn't make sense for me or you as a business. So I reached out to them and I said, hey, I'm hearing rumors that you guys are for sale. I'm seeing things that definitely point to you being for sale. I would love to talk about it and tell me what's going on. Heard nothing back, like just complete radio silence. So me, being the person that I am, I just started showing up there as much as I could until I could get in front of ownership. And finally, eventually got face-to-face with ownership. And I said, hey, I'm having a good time here. Drink a beer every day for the last 10 years. I'm here every day trying to talk to you. The reason I'm here every day is because I want to talk to you. What the fuck is going on? What the heck is going on? I don't think I can say fuck on. Can I say that on YouTube or Facebook? Does it penalize me? I don't know. What is going on? And ownership looked me in the eyes, direct right here. These eyes, these same eyes that right now are filled with pain because of your brewery closing, and said, no, we're not for sale. No, no way. Things are great. We're not for sale. And that was the point where I knew that they were going to close. And that's a heartbreaker for me. When I see somebody that won't even admit, I don't know if it was like not admitting to yourself what was happening, or you think that you can find a way out of it so people won't know what's going on. I don't even know. But that was when Listerman lost me. And that was I'm going to say it was maybe, what, a year ago? Like, you guys, some of you guys know. You know what I was going through. There was a lot of you that I was texting through all of this, trying to figure out how the hell I worked my way through it. Scott says, here at Glendale House Brewery, we are listening and sad that a real beer nerd, the owners told us they were still for here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They told me the opposite. I guess because I'm media. Oh, it breaks my heart. Like, it really doesn't just make me sad, like, as a person that, like, talks about beer. Because I get it. Like, there are things that, like, people don't want me to talk about. And I get that and I respect it. I respect it a lot. Like, way more than traditional media will. Let's go to that. Like, let's put that out there right now. For anybody that, like, is listening to this that doesn't understand me, doesn't know who I am. Yes, I write about beer. I'm more than happy to take rumors and throw them out there and let people kind of chew on them and talk about them. That's great. Like, I love talking about them. That's a very beer nerd thing. I have no desire to throw anybody under the bus. If you look at me in the eye and you tell me, hey, like, I gotta tell you something. Like, man, we're struggling. I think we're gonna put the brewery up for sale, but I'd really prefer you not talk about it. I'm going to honor that, and I actually I hesitate saying that out loud because I've been burnt by this too, where there's been places that have, like, shot me a message like a week before something really big happens and says, hey, this is happening. We're going to tell you first, but don't talk about it. And so then I don't, only to find out it's because they want to give somebody else some kind of story that they can write about first. That's shitty. it's kind of like, okay, it's turned into a thing. Michael says, I could show you the listing. Yeah, me too. I think I have the listing saved from a very long time ago. I knew who it was the whole time. I knew it. I have, all right, let's go down another rabbit hole. I have, like, this really crazy, stupid database that I have built, like, with all of these different, like, aspects of breweries. So if you list your brewery, whatever data you put into that listing, immediately I can narrow it down to at least, like, three places that you're talking about. The size of the building, if you've got a kitchen, if you have a brew house, how big the brew house is, all of that stuff is in a database. Like, I know who you are immediately. I know it. If you don't want me to talk about it, just tell me. that's the frustration. Julia says, 13,000 square foot turnkey brewery. Only so many places fit that bill. There are a few. And I reached out to all of them, and all of them can tell you, yes, I reached out to them and asked, hey, is this you? The biggest one is, because it had a kitchen too. And Westside is the exact same size. And immediately I reached out to them and said, hey, this looks like you. Michael says, no, there was another one for less money, for what it's worth, the name of the brewery. Yeah, I mean, I see them all. And there are some places that ask me not to blow them up, and I'm not going to. And, like, I respect the people that ask me to respect them. Sometimes it's frustrating, and that's kind of the point that I was getting to before. Sometimes it is so frustrating to not be able to talk about somebody because they asked me not to. That drives me crazy, but that is who I am. If you ask me not to talk about something, I'm not going to. However, if you lie to me, it kind of like makes me want to talk about it even more. And that's where this whole Listerman thing kind of went for me. I just wanted to talk about it more. And I... No, it just breaks my heart to see where it went. Like, to know what it was to what it is. That's sad. I don't know. It's like, for a lot of craft beer drinkers now, or craft beer, and they're not even craft beer people. A lot of people now, it's almost funny to people to watch what's happening to some of these businesses. And like, I don't think we're in any kind of bubble. I get saying that knowing what's happened. We're in like a weird period where craft beer is becoming more mainstream. And with that, there is way less passion behind what it is. Ryan is asking a question that separates me from getting too depressed about this. He says, next natural question, does anyone swoop in and buy their recipes? Here's the fun part. This is good news for anybody that loves beer. You cannot copyright or trademark a recipe. It's all fair game. And there are people all over Cincinnati that have worked at Listerman that have extreme ties to Listerman. Now, whether or not somebody can buy the name Nutcase is a whole different thing. And try to make the exact same beer that Nutcase was is a different thing. But can there be a beer that is Nutcase? Yes. There is a good handful of people that can make Nutcase and make it well. And I hope they do. I hope every one of them does, because that beer deserves to live well beyond what the hell happened to Listerman. But whether somebody buys the names, I don't know. That depends on ownership, current ownership, and how they let all of that go. If they're jerks about it, Michael says, this has largely already happened. Yes, I think the name means something. I think the name Chicow, the name Nutcase, like, I think these are things that, like, they in themselves deserve to live on in the city. And I hope and I pray that the last thing that this ownership group can give is to not be jerks about letting that stuff go. Let somebody take it. I personally, like, I would love to see some of those OG recipes. This is me throwing it out there. I'd like to see them go to Fretboard. Kevin invented Nutcase. He invented Chicow. Those are his beers. And I would love to see Fretboard kind of carry them on personally. Mirko says, will the brand get bought now that it's possible to just own the brand? It should be Sinbev, right? Or who else? Somebody will. And I don't want to see it. I think some of those beers should carry on. I don't want to see the brand get carried on in the same way as other ones have, personally. Steve says, do you think it's different for other industries, businesses, or is this unique because we're so close to this? I think it's just different because of the industry. Craft beer is different than any other industry I've ever seen. And maybe it's because I'm closer, and I'm close to other industries too. Like, I, I don't know. I think it's different. I can't put myself in the shoes of something else that would be comparative to this. I don't know. Michael says we'll see Roebling Porter first. Michael, you probably need to get down to Wooden Cask and try Under the Bridge. Marco says fretboard, good call. That's where my brain goes specifically for those two beers, for Nutcase and Chicao. They should be at a place that makes sense. And if there's other beers that make sense somewhere else, then they should be at that place that makes sense somewhere else. Like, I don't know why we can't, like, just be, like, I don't know. I want to say logical, but that's not the right way to put it. I don't know. Like, just do what makes sense. Just like do what makes sense. And that's what makes sense to me. Julia says, why not Fabled? They would do incredible justice to the stout and New England IPA stay on the side of the brands. John being there too helps. Yeah, no, like, it's fine. Like, anybody that wants to make a peanut butter porter, I am all about it. Oh no, phone's ringing. All right, let's see who this is. Hopefully my volume will work here. Let's see. Hey, you're on the Weekly Pint. Who is this?
This is Zach. What's up, buddy?
All right. Hey, what's up, dude? Hopefully my. Oh no.
Hey, you just seem so sad. So I had to give a call in before you.
Are you? I'm getting a weird echo thing. Are you watching the show on your phone at the same time you're calling from your phone?
No.
Or is this? Oh wait, hang on. We'll fix this.
Oh, you're good.
All right, let's see if we can fix this. All right, say something.
Hello, how are you doing tonight?
All right, I'm sad. I'm fantastically sad. How are you doing?
I'm in the same boat. I am. I don't know. I've been actually kind of anxious. Well, not anxious. I've been excited to watch this episode tonight.
Wrong buttons.
Oh, you're good.
Okay, you've been excited to watch it tonight. Tell me why.
Yeah, I've been excited. Well, first of all, like, okay, I haven't been in Cincinnati. I just wanted to hear what you had to say, and I knew you were going to be super sad that news hit. And then, like, I had a couple of buddies, actually Brock from the Deadlow out there. I had a couple of people, two people text me about it, not a lot, but just people were like, hey, what's going on with Glistrom? And I never knew what was going on. I think the night was it Friday that they announced that it was Saturday was going to be the last day.
Yeah, it was Friday.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, and I was putting my daughter to bed and I'm like, wait, what the hell? What, the Listerman's closing? Like, what the, like, so first of all, my first thought is I think that the owners should have definitely given people a heads up at least a week in advance for this whole situation to happen. Just to give people a chance to, I mean, I think I saw some people were out of town. I mean, and then other people were doing things. I just don't think it was the greatest way to say, oh, we're going to drop this on you in one day to come to the brewery and that's it. And then not even end it on a Sunday, okay, at least, not
so
just
this
one
is,
day.
This is a note too, that I didn't get into a bit ago. I don't think It wasn't like they just decided all of a sudden that they were closing the doors. I think they held on as long as they could, and I think that they were hoping something would happen to kind of change things around. Like, I'm not faulting them. Like, I don't think that they just decided they were closing the doors. I think they,
well, I guess
it was they were being forced into this, basically.
Okay, well, I guess I'm making that sound wrong. I'm not saying that it's something that happened overnight. And like you had said before, you had talked to, I'm assuming Steve, I forget his wife's name, but see, I
Terry.
Actually just kind of started. Oh, Terry. What's her name? Sorry.
Terry.
Okay. Terry. So I never talked to Terry, but I talked to Steve. I actually was talking to Steve for a little bit there. Cause I had just, like, I think it was during the when Shamrock Shake was coming out, he was talking about having the group of my 513 Craft Brew group or whatever, some people coming out there like, hey, we want to host you, that type of thing. And it was kind of trying to settle my way because I'd never talked to the owners before.
Right.
But when I got to talking to him, there was a lot of stuff that did seem kind of like, I don't know, but didn't have that same feeling. Like you said, a lot of other people there prior to like Dan and everybody else and people who owned it, just kind of like that, like, hey, we care about the customers versus the profits, I guess you could say. Maybe they did sure. care a little bit about it, but I think Steve was basically telling me.
I think they did at the beginning.
Oh.
And I think it changed very quickly. Once things aren't easy, then all of a sudden profits become mm-hmm. a lot more important. Like it's really easy
exactly.
to care. It's easy to care about the community and like the fun side of craft beer when things are easy. It's like when things
sure.
when shit hits the fan, that's when you got to start worrying about the other stuff. Does that
and
make sense?
Then, yeah. No, it totally makes 100% sense. And it's just one of the things where I think he was talking about how they like used to go there themselves all the time. They loved it. That's why they wanted to buy it.
Yeah,
that's
bullshit.
Was like they
went there. They did not go there all the time. They had a daughter who went to school
not
there.
All the they may have not said all the time. I might be exaggerating.
Oh,
that,
no,
they
probably did say that. This is me being angry
okay.
right now. They probably did say it, and it was probably bullshit.
Well, the thing is I'm agree with you on that bullshit thing, too, because I actually texted him that same night. Dude didn't even message me at all. Like, he had texted me a couple of times when I first started talking to him around March and stuff. And he was super nice about things, but it seemed like it was one of those like, hey, I'm going to put a smile on my business smile. But then like right. when you actually have something to talk about, you're like, hey, what's going on? And then I think a lot of other people in the news outlets were trying to talk to him too. And they were saying that they were not going to comment on anything.
Right.
It's like Listerman is a big part of this Cincinnati. Like, I mean, it's a big part of Cincinnati craft beer scene. It was. And, you know, just to say, oh, we're not going to comment on anything. And we're just going to say, here's your last day to come buy all the beer from us. Of course, you know, they've probably made a lot of their money back since everybody's like, can't get their hands on everything now.
They did not make their money back. I guarantee that. They.
Oh, well, maybe I don't understand money, I guess, on that way. But I mean, they made some profit, I guess you could say. But at the end of the day, I just thought it was kind of shitty that he just didn't respond back to me. And like you, it sounds like it was a really shitty situation where he was basically looking you in the eye with like lying to you.
I remember you talking about this before. Not him specifically.
Oh, was it him?
It was not him.
But
Terry was the one that looked at me in the eye and lied. But
okay. Well, I mean, husband and wife, they're kind of the same. You're in the same
sure,
boat.
Sure.
You're husband and wife. So.
But like a failing business is hard to deal with as a person. And
sure.
I don't know how many people have like, had to face that. Like that's a hard thing to mm-hmm. to deal with like emotionally as a person. But like when you're dealing with that and it's accompanied by people that also feel like that business is theirs, that adds mm-hmm. like a whole other aspect to it. Like when people walk in and they think they know how you should be running your business, because it's
yeah.
in their head, their business, too, because they've been there from the beginning. And I remember when there were just picnic tables and the bar was wobbly. And I was there for the first Chickow day. And it's like that's
right.
That's hard. That is really, really, really hard for a business owner. I don't fault them for their struggle with how to deal with this. But on the other hand,
yeah,
they fucked up with how they dealt with this. I'm sitting like squarely with my butthole right on the fence. Like I get it, and like
you're trying to be nice, but you're also trying to be nice at the same time.
I don't need to be nice. Like I'm not trying to like spare anybody's feelings. If either one of them are listening right now, I encourage them to stop because I'm not trying to be nice. They screwed this thing up very badly and it makes me mad. And I think that they destroyed the Listerman name and it will
they
never,
knew what
it
they
will,
were getting themselves into.
They didn't. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into.
Or maybe
they had no idea.
You're right.
They thought they were getting themselves into, they thought they were walking into a brand that spoke for itself in Cincinnati. And in some ways it did, but they thought they were walking into something that would just carry them through in a way that they couldn't do on their own by opening their own brewery. And they thought
well,
there would
they supposed to be.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I didn't interrupt.
No,
you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, weren't they supposed to be opening up their own brewery mm-hmm. prior to this? Like, it was before they were going to buy a Listerman. They wanted to open up a different brewery somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then start out that way. But then just they were like, well, hey, it's so much easier to, or they thought it was so much easier to take over just Listerman versus opening something brand new, I guess. I don't know. What I, my understanding
yeah,
maybe I'm
That's the easy way to put it. Yeah, they were gonna open their own brewery, and then when they saw Listerman was for sale, in their words, they saw a brand that they resonated with because their daughter went to school down here, and they knew how great,
that's what it was.
They knew how great Listerman was, and that seemed like it made more sense. In reality,
okay.
It seemed like it was an easier path, and it wasn't.
And then it was like Cheers. It was the last episode of Cheers. Everybody knew your name and everything. And now it's like it's over.
Yeah, it's and, sad. It's really sad the way it worked. You know,
well,
like
here's a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, would you have rather Dan and them or be where we're at now, them closing it, or would you have rather Dan and his wife say, "Hey, we're calling it quits. We're closing it ourselves now, and this will never be a thing." What would
Zach,
you, would there have ever been a...
Zach, that's the best question you've ever asked. I would have rather Dan just shut it down. I would have rather Dan said,
okay.
"Hey, in 6 months, this thing is done. We are bringing back
okay.
every beer you guys have ever loved. We're going to throw a hell of a mm-hmm. festival in 4 months.
And then call it quits.
And every person that has ever worked here is going to come back and they're going to hang out and we're going to make beers and we're going to do this thing the way it should be done, but it's going to be done." That's the way it should have ended. And
I think it would have felt more like a family
heartbreaking.
Thing versus...
It's heartbreaking. That's not the way it ended. It's that's the way it should have stopped.
I could see that. Like, Dan should have, I think they should have definitely been like, "Hey, if we're going to end everything, we're going to end this legacy," I guess you could say, or this
yeah.
huge thing.
No, and
like
at the end of that festival, yeah. when Listerman was shutting down, we should have burnt the building down and we should have all stood there. I'm not joking. We should have stood there on the sidewalk drinking beers, roasting marshmallows, singing some kind of song in German.
Kumbaya.
No, it's something in German led by Dan, and nobody
okay.
understands what he's talking about. And
okay.
it would have been amazing. And that's the way Listerman should have ended.
Like, let it off into the sunset or any of those Western movies. Like,
not a sunset.
Right,
no,
done.
A burning pile of rubble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Damn, you just went there. It's like, whoa. Yeah, I don't know. Now, with this being said, is the building just going to sit there like any other building and something else might just take over?
Yeah,
or,
no,
I mean, I don't know how that works.
Dan owns the building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
No. What if somebody were to... Could it potentially ever be like, hey?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it can't. It's done. Listerman is done.
I was going to say the only other way is how Marco said, I guess, Cincy Bev can take over recipes or
no.
whatever. Somebody can take over Fred Ford or somebody.
And somebody will. I'm assuming somebody will. Like, the recipes will live on, definitely.
The name,
at some point, somebody will resurrect it. Maybe not, like, in the near future, but somebody will. And it will never mean what it used to mean.
Never
like
be the same.
It'll never be the same. Gotta let it go.
I mean, can we all stop sitting there and like lying to ourselves and pretty much think that, you know, Jason Brewer, with him having Wandering Monster, pretty much has a lot of the recipe or a lot of similar recipes to what Listerman used to be doing when he was there? Because I kind of feel like that he's been doing that with
recipes
Wandering Monster.
Recipes are not what Listerman was. Listerman was never about
okay.
a beer. or a person, or like it was about something bigger. It was like a conglomeration of a bunch of stuff. Like that's what makes it so hard to recreate Listerman, because it wasn't just about a beer or a recipe or a name or a person. Like it was something else. Like it was a community that like formed around that thing. And so you can't just make that somewhere else. It has to like develop. And like, I'm sure Jason wants to have that at Wandering Monsters, and maybe he's building something there that's similar, but it's not the same thing, and it can't be because it's a different community. Like it can't exist. That's why
I like how you put that.
That's why Listerman is dead and it will never exist again. In the same way that like Taft's, when Taft's, you know, closed, it died. Like the brand lives on. I love that the brand lives on. The brand is definitely in the best hands it can be right now.
Sure.
But it'll never be. You can't. Taft's Ale House will never exist in the same way it did when it opened. Like that can't exist again. It was a piece of time, and like a, you know, when that place opened, it was a thing. Like it was, nobody had put that kind of money into a tap room, into a brew pub in the city. Like it was crazy when that opened, and that was what made it what it was.
And, well, unfortunately, I wasn't here living at the time when it first opened, but I could see all the people and the memories and just how heartfelt it was for everybody. And when this all, you know, this all goes down from now to where it's at now, but I see where it's coming from. And I don't know if there's, I guess Listerman, it sounds like Listerman really, I mean, I think Listerman had a pretty special place in everybody's heart, but
yeah,
it seems like Listerman was like in the top thing for you. Cause I could always ask you what's your favorite breweries? Or
my favorite brewery right now, Southridge Brewing, Alex is the last person that commented on the chat. Southridge Brewing is the best brewery in the world.
Okay. In the world. I still haven't made it
right now.
No, I was just going to say, you've been living here your whole life, and I was just kind of curious. I'm like, Listerman was probably like your top five. The one that's closed is, how about that? What's the one that was heartfelt?
This is up there, but like, you know, all of them hurt. All of them, like, every place has a special part of, like, my heart as a craft beer drinker. Like, there's been something special about every single one of these places that has opened or closed. And
Except for Woodburn, right?
No, I loved Woodburn. Like, it's funny, but, I mean, when Woodburn opened, again, in the same way that like Taft's like changed kind of what people were expecting from breweries, Woodburn changed what people were expecting from like small like neighborhood spots. Like you looked at that when it opened, and you're like, oh my God, like this is a like a quote unquote big money tap room that is like a small spot. Like this is a neighborhood spot that has like power behind it to be something big. It was crazy what they did, and the beer was great, the space was amazing. It was different than anything that anybody else had done, in almost the same way that Taft's was, different. Michael points out Tap and Screw. Good point.
What did he say? I couldn't hear what you said.
Tap and Screw.
What did he say?
Tap and Screw.
Oh, Tap and Screw.
Gotcha. Tap and Screw. Okay. I was very appreciative when Tap and Screw opened that the West Side had a brewery. I can go down that rabbit hole. There was a long time before they opened that nobody said that it was possible to open a brewery on the West Side. Nobody could do it because the people on the West Side, they don't drink craft beer. All they want is Miller and Bud. And you know what? That's bullshit. And it has been proven that that's bullshit. And Tap and Screw was the first one to do it.
I've never heard of this brewery. Well, obviously, I haven't lived here my whole life, so I've not heard of this brewery. Is it a brewery? Or was it a brewery, I mean?
Yeah, it was definitely a brewery. It was multiple breweries. Okay.
But then again, now Westside has what? Like, pretty much Brink, Westside Brewing, you know, all that
wait,
stuff.
Wait, wait, so. Wait, wait, wait. You consider Brink on the West Side?
I mean, kind of.
No. West Side is not like a West of 75 thing. It's a culture. No. Okay. It's not even close.
I'm just thinking about where I live at and what's close by near me, which is like, I think the closest brewery to me is Fibonacci, I believe.
Definitely not West Side. Fibonacci is definitely not West Side.
Well, yeah, I figured it was a little bit more. But West Side Brewing is West Side, right?
Yeah, West Side is West Side. But yeah, Brink is not.
Oh, okay. Well, my bad, I guess.
Michael points out that Tap and Screw fled the West Side, so maybe they don't even get that. That's also a great point. So they opened on the West Side, and then they left to go to Madisonville, which is definitely not the West Side. They also tried to open in Oakley, which didn't work out. Also, well, not West Side.
All the breweries that you have closed around here, I've always wanted to be curious. I wish I was around here at the time. Was that Blank? Is it Blank Slate? Is that correct?
Yeah, I've heard about this Blank Slate. You said I've heard about
that. Is that the name of it? Right.
Blank Slate.
I've always wanted to. I mean, obviously, they're not around here anymore, but
yeah, they're another one of those places though that I'm making jokes. They're one of those places that will always exist in Cincinnati. Somehow, if you don't know, you won't know, but you will, like, if you do know, you will see pieces of them everywhere. And I anticipate that Listerman is one of those places that, like, if you never got to experience Listerman, when you see pieces of Listerman, you won't know that that's what it is. But if you know, you'll see them over and over and over again for the end of, you know, craft beer. As long as beer exists, you'll see Listerman in Cincinnati. And Blank Slate's the same way.
Are you talking about certain beers that are similar to them, or?
Yeah. And like, just lots, like, of things. Just little things. It can be beers. It can be tap room things. Okay. It can be little design elements that people incorporate into stuff. It can be personality things. It can be all kinds of stuff. Like, there are so many little things. Like, there are times where I walk into a brand new tap room and I see something and I look at it and I'm like, I know where you got that idea. Like, that's Blank Slate. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, that's exactly where we got it from. Like, that is a thing that we saw and we wanted to pay homage in the way that we can. And
So they're living through the past through something.
Yep.
Current, I guess. I don't know how that. Okay. All right. That's a cool way to think things when you hit up a brewery. I never thought about thinking of something
it's everywhere, and else. It's definitely in the beer too. Like, there are beers that you try that people make that are inspired by things that places before them.
I'm kind of curious if anyone's like comparable to Jacal still, though. I mean, you can't really compare. I don't know.
I have not tried anything that compares to Jacal, but you will. It'll be there. It'll definitely be there.
Well, luckily I have a few Chicals left to have, and then I still have a few of the cans of the Hophead left. I mean, I have my small Listerman, what I have left type things, but of course we're going to sit there, and once we drink through them all, you're going to go, man, I'm never going to have this again. But I don't know how long a barrel age can last for.
Like, it can last
the only
a while.
Thing you could think of is, because I was thinking, like, man, I could save one last bottle, because I do have one or two. And then I saw some floating around at some on some shelves recently. But I think some people are buying those up. So at least I can save those around and go, hey, I'm going to save this for a special occasion. Because I guess that's all we can do. And I'm sure you still have a cellar of Listerman yourself. So.
Yeah, I got a few of them.
But anyway, I wanted to call because I was like excited about this episode and talked about, or that we'll talk tonight. And I just knew you kind of were not like super sad, but sad enough about
pretty sad, yeah,
this whole situation. So,
I appreciate you calling in
too much longer. Hey, no problem, man. Cheers. And then I'll call in some other time, but just, let's everyone, if you have any Listerman left, try to drink it. I don't know, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of this week, in memoir of Listerman. So,
yeah.
All right, man. Well, you have a great night.
You
cheers,
too,
my friend.
Cheers.
All right. Later.
Bye. Yeah, it's It's very like weird. It's very strange. Very hard to kind of balance the anger that you feel about a place closing, the nostalgia of what the place was, the optimism about what might come next. Like, how can people learn from this and do better? For every news outlet that is writing an article right now that says the beer bubble is bursting and craft beer is dead and this is a sign of the apocalypse, screw you. You're missing the point. You're not a craft beer drinker and you don't get it. Craft beer is alive and well. It's different than it used to be. But there are places all over town that are making the best beer that they have ever made in the history of the city. And it's still there. And I feel good about where we're headed. It's hard to say that when you're like already like when you're in mourning of a place that's closing. It's hard to be excited about a place that is, you know, still kind of doing something great. But we're in a good spot. There's a lot of really great people, a lot of the same people that have been making the beer, still making the beer in the city. Let's one more rabbit hole before we wrap things up. I want to point out, somebody was making a comment about kind of the quote unquote bubble of Cincinnati beer. And I know a lot of you guys have feelings about all of this too. But I think that there is still room for breweries, maybe not more than there are now, but maybe, depending on how it breaks out. There is room for more breweries to exist in the city. And I know that is a controversial thing to say, and people don't like you to say it, and they think that we're going to settle into like three breweries. And I get it. What I want this city to be, and what I think this city can be, is a whole bunch of small neighborhood spots. And I've got like a handful of places that are that I, in my head, think they are doing it well. That model spread into a lot of different neighborhoods. And then on top of that, you've got several, is what I'll call it right now, several citywide brands that that make beer that you can get in stores and, you know, kind of get when you want to grab a beer. They're around, several of those. And then one, I'll give a little leeway and say two, but I'm going to say one, regional powerhouses in the city. And we know one of them obviously is Rheingeist. I think that they are doing a great job of what they do, making great beer. And I think they need to keep doing what they're doing. And beyond that, like I think we can do this thing. One or two regional powerhouses, a handful of citywide brands, and then a plethora of neighborhood breweries. This city can support it. We are beer drinkers. The city was built on beer. We were built on beer. I was built on beer. I hope you were built on beer. I hope you continue to build yourself on beer. It's fine. We'll be fine. One closure does not define who we are as beer drinkers. I appreciate all of you guys. Cincy Beer Week is coming. We're a couple months away. But if you want to help, go to thegnarlygnome.com/, I think it's beer week. Crap. Should have wrote it down. Hang on. TheGnarlyGnome.com. Let me just type it in and see what works here. / beer week. That's not it. Let's go Cincy Beer Week. TheGnarlyGnome.com/ Cincy Beer Week. That's it. Nope, that's not it. Oh, no. Now we got Google. Not Google. We got to search. If this was an actual podcast where I was recording ahead of time, all of this would get edited out. Can't get it edited out right now. All right, let's look. It is... Da, da, da. For all of you, like I was saying the whole time, for all of you who want to help with Beer Week and you want to be part of the Cincy Beer Week street team, go to thegnarlygnome.com/street team to be part of that street team. There's emails that'll be going out very soon for how people can help. But go to that link, go to thegnarlygnome.com/street team, and it'll send you to like a Google document kind of thing, like a survey kind of thing. You can put your name and your email and all that stuff in there, and that'll get you on my little like list. And then we're going to build some kind of thing where you can help me convince people to make events for Beer Week, because okay, if I'm being honest, and that's what I do, I can't do this. I cannot make Beer Week happen by myself. I can't do it. I was really frustrated the other day, and I was telling my wife about it, and like we were looking at the calendar, and I'm like, I don't have enough time to not only do... So I've got this Oktoberfest quest thing that I do that I'm in the middle of, and we'll talk about that this weekend. I think the first post starts going out, so we'll talk about that soon. But Oktoberfest quest, we're in the middle of. On top of that, beer week, family stuff, and then the business of trying to pay for all of life, like trying to actually make this thing pay for itself. Things are nuts, and Beer Week is probably the bottom of the barrel right now as far as things that I can spend my time on, because it doesn't generate income and it won't generate income. We'll talk about all of that soon. But if you want to help, go to thegnarlygnome.com/street team, and we're going to build something. We're going to build something that even crappy ownership can't destroy. We're gonna do this right. It's gonna be good. I feel better about Cincy Beer Week than I think I've ever felt about anything. I'm excited. Ruben says, just moved away from Cincy to Northwest Ohio. Gonna really miss the beer culture and the community. It's a craft beer desert up here. Thanks for keeping us connected, Gnome. Support local breweries. I appreciate you, Ruben. Thank you. It's good down here, and we'll always welcome you back. You can come down. Send us a message. Somebody will meet you for a beer. Just make a road trip. I appreciate all of you for hanging out, especially on this live show thing that we do every Monday. This was never intended to actually be a show, and it's not a show, but between you and me, it kind of has become a show. Like, I love this thing. It like starts my week the right way. It grounds me back in why I do all of this stuff. It makes me feel good. And I like talking to all you guys, and I like hanging out with you. We'll do it again next week. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do or that I create or that I share, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. It helps. These things are not free, so it helps. Ruben says, Put-in Bay Oktoberfest. Is that a thing? Do they do an Oktoberfest at Put-in Bay? Oh, that would be fun. I can't do that this year, but that could go on my calendar. That would be a wild time. Noted. I'm going to start Googling. Is that a thing? I need to know right now. Is that a thing? I appreciate all of you guys. We will be back next week. Same time, same place, all of that. Chris says that my cousin is a former rep for the Toledo area for Rheingeist. He's somewhere else up there right now. There are some good things happening up there. There's some good beer up there. I'm sure you can find them, Ruben. There's some good beer. Twin Oast. That's Northwest, right? That counts Northwest. It's North. West-ish. It's like Central. North Central. I don't know. I don't know how you break it up. Anyways, we'll be back next week. I'm going to get distracted. Let's kill this beer. And then I'm going to open something else. I think I've got more Listerman in the fridge. We're going to drink all the Listerman. Why not? Cheers, everybody. I appreciate you. For everybody who has ever drank a Listerman beer, for everybody who has worked at Listerman, who's ever bought ingredients at Listerman, who has ever learned something from being at Listerman, I appreciate all of you guys. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry Listerman is no more. But there are other places that fill that gap. And they fill it well. Let's appreciate them. Cheers, everybody. We'll be back. See you guys next week. How many Chickows do you have to drink before you start speaking German? That's the trivia question of the night. Start speaking German. It's easier to say when you think about it. Start speaking German.